Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Just listen, that's a humble little mouth harp, and the man who's got that swing is Howard Levy. Half the notes he plays don't really exist on the simple diatonic harmonica, as we all know it so well. But Howard found them. As a kid, he wanted to do on the harp what he could do so excellently on the piano. And while the rest of us barely figured out how to blow Oh Susanna, Howard blew the doors open with a whole new way of playing. This hour on Point, harmonica virtuoso Howard Levy. You can join us on air or online. Have you tried and tried to play the harmonica? Are you prepared to get discouraged and amazed all at the same time today? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or join us at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Chicago is Howard Levy, two-time Grammy winner, one of the world's top harmonica players, a world-class pianist, a music educator, a founding member of Bella Fleck and the Fleckstones. He's played with Dolly Parton, Styx, Bobby McFerrin, Paul Simon, Kenny Loggins, Pete Seeger, and so many more. He's currently a member, composer, or band leader of Trio Globo, Acoustic Express, and the Latin jazz group Chavere. His most recent album is First Takes, and I could go on and on here, but that would take up most of the hour. Howard, it's so nice to have you with us. What a joy to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you very much, Jane.
So the Chicago Tribune wrote of you, quote, "Nobody approaches the technical wizardry, stylistic breadth, or improvisational creativity of Howard Levy." What attracted you to the harmonica?
I started playing piano when I was eight, and I started improvising right away, and then I got into various different styles. And then when I heard the blues and I heard these great harmonica players, I just had never heard anything like that before. And so I went out and bought one for $2.25 at Manny's Music on 48th Street in New York. And it was the start of something that I could never have predicted. I fell in love with the instrument. And once I started being able to bend notes and actually play those blues licks, it's an indescribable feeling for the player.
Hmm. Right, you said once, when I picked up the harmonica, that really changed my personality. What did you mean by that?
Well, before that, I actually said that, huh?
It's right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Before that, I had played the piano, which was a mechanical instrument. You press a key down, and it hits a string, and the note sounds. And the harmonica, it's got all of this flexibility in it, and it's like a singer. When you play it. For a guy who had played piano before, being able to do that, I didn't know I could express myself that way. I really didn't. The instrument changed me.
Mm. And you're actually breathing the notes,
That's yeah. That's the other thing. I had never played a wind instrument before,
yeah.
So it's such a natural thing, just breathing, and the fact that it uses the breath in both directions. It's the only wind instrument that does that. So there's something very organic about it.
I know you've heard all the jokes about the harmonica. Lowbrow, unscholarly, a little toy that kids toot. How do you see it?
It's all true. It's all true. Yeah, the harmonica, it's just like anything else. I mean, you could walk up to a harmonica, pick it up and go... that is what a harmonica sounds like, except that it also. So the thing about the instrument is that it's also the only absolutely invisible instrument to the person playing it. So it's puzzling because you look at it and go, what am I supposed to do? There's no keys to push down. There's no strings to pluck. There are just these little holes. And as soon as you look at them, and you get it close enough to your mouth, you can't see it anymore. Mm. So it's kind of an enigma. And it's an invisible world that you have to discover by feel.
Mm. Let's hear some of you playing here. This is Howard Levy playing Raga Fantasy. It's played with guitar and a dumbek. It's a Middle Eastern and African drum. So many different kinds of sounds. That piece sounds so different from the one we heard at the top, the urban hoedown.
Yeah, you know, the harmonica, it's sort of like a carving wood. I mean, the harmonica has a grain to it, and the straight grain would be like if you just played, you know, like that. And then when you cut across the grain by playing in different keys and that intersects the strong points, the main veins of the grain, then you can get all different kinds of expression because the instrument is not symmetrical. And so, for example, this piece that I'm playing here is in the key of C sharp on a C harmonica. So, the note C sharp doesn't exist on the harmonica unless you bend a note to get it, which I can explain about bending. And so just to get that note, it has all this... I'm using a scale that is related to certain Indian ragas. And in order to create those notes on the harmonica, you have to do all this stuff with the inside of your mouth. And the instrument just sort of sounds like, I don't even know, it's liquid sounding, you know?
Play for us some more.
Okay.
Let's see. We've got Bach Bure in E minor.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'll play the Bach Bure. I feel like and now in ring number two. India in ring number one,
yes.
And ring number two, Baroque Germany. Here we go. So this is the Bach Bure.
A classical flair.
Yeah, I love this piece. And so this is in E minor on a G harmonica. They come in all different keys. They're all basically the same thing, but just in different keys. And so it's a G harmonica. I'm going to play it in the relative minor of G, which is E minor. Thank you.
Control room is clapping. Howard Levy?
Yeah, improvising a bit, you know, because Baroque music, when they had repeats, they would improvise way back when. I'm sure they didn't exactly sound like that, but, you know.
Well, you talked about bending on the harmonica. You actually started a whole new school of harmonica playing. You call it overblowing. Tell us what that is.
Okay. Well, when I was a kid, when I was 18, and I was a college freshman in my dorm at Northwestern, you know, I started playing the blues. Like I said, I fell in love with the instrument. And, you know, you figure out how to play certain blues licks and bends. And the way the bends work is you can bend the pitch of the higher pitch reed on a hole down to just above the pitch of the lower pitched reed. I figured this out. So if you have two – I have an A harp here. So if you have two notes on a hole, you can bend the higher one down – to just above the lower one. And they're all different relationships between the blow and draw. We could talk about this a little later about the way the harmonica is made. So this, the bends are all different sizes. Like this hole has, so you can bend like that.
Well, the bottom line is you force any note out of any key, right? So the harmonica
has... I don't force anything. So
it just comes naturally. It just flows out.
No, that's the whole thing, Dan. And it's not how hard you push or pull on them. It has to do with the resonance of the inside of the mouth.
Ah.
And when I play right, my voice gets lower. And so what it is that certain notes aren't there, even by bending notes. And it's very frustrating to a guy who grew up playing piano to play an instrument where there's notes that are missing. So you can bend the draw notes on the bottom and you can bend the blow notes on the top because they're higher up there. So I thought, well, these missing notes, what happens if I try to bend the blow notes on the bottom? It's just a logical question, right? So on this blow note here, the lower note, if I try to bend it down with this resonance of my inside of my mouth, moving your tongue, you see, it goes down a little bit, and then it pops up to another note. It just turns out that that note is one of the missing notes on the instrument. And I asked a sax player friend of mine, I said, what am I doing when I'm playing and a higher note pops out? And he said, it sounds like you're overblowing a harmonic, which wasn't what it was at all. And it took me years until I found out exactly what I was doing. But using this technique, you get all of the notes on the harmonica. You get a full 3-octave chromatic scale.
Even the C sharp at the very top.
You can actually do that. Yeah, it's there.
It is. I'm talking with harmonica master Howard Levy, and what a pleasure that is. Call in and speak with Howard. Can you hear all the world's music in his little harp? We're at 1-800-423-8255. We'll go out with The Sinister Minister, performed by Howard's old band Bella Fleck and the Fleckstones. Howard won a Grammy for a live performance of this song. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. Much more after this break. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We came in here with My Babe by the late, great blues singer and harmonica player Little Walter. I'm talking this hour with the main man of the harmonica, Howard Levy, founding member of Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, founder of a whole new school of harmonica playing, a man who plays all the notes that don't even exist on a little diatonic harmonica. You can join the conversation. Do you play the harmonica? What do you love to hear about Howard playing it? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. And if you go to our website, you can find a playlist and a couple of really great videos of Howard Levy performing. It's a little blues in that, Howard. How did the harmonica become a blues instrument?
Well, the Germans invented it in southern Germany in the 1820s, and it gradually got this tuning called the Richter tuning. And what they did is they left out some notes in the first octave so that you could get the 1 and the 5 chord of the key that's written on the harmonica. This is a B flat because that's what Walter was playing right there. I'm going to show you what happened. And then in the middle, they included all the notes that you could get in the B flat scale. So whatever you played, whatever kind of melody you played, they didn't play O Susanna in Germany, but if you play O Susanna, you harmonize it with those two basic chords. You don't have to play one note at a time, and it sounds like music. And so I'll just show you what happened when the instrument came to America. In Europe, they're playing Pop Goes the Weasel, right, in B flat. If you take that same exact rhythm and you start it on the inhale, you get the blues shuffle because that's what's called – it's the key, a fifth above the key that's written on the harmonica. Mm. It's called the Mixolydian mode, and it's got the flatted seventh in it. And then, as if by a miracle, the Germans didn't know they were doing this, but – all the notes that you need to bend that a blues singer would sing with expression. All those notes. As if by magic, bend on the harmonica. So these Germans accidentally invented the world's greatest blues instrument.
What a great story. Well, you mentioned the inhaling and the exhaling. I have a little harmonic here. I've been noodling around with it, so I knew I was going to speak with you. My nine-year-old thinks it's really cool. But the diaphragmatic strength needed to play the harmonica is tremendous. That's really what I noticed. I mean, you're deep breathing with your entire lung capacity.
Well, you know, it's like anything else. You learn how to control it. The most challenging thing about the harmonica is to focus your breath. There's two different ways of getting single notes. Single notes – did you ever play the flute or the clarinet?
I play the violin. That's what I play.
See. Well, that's your problem.
I'll tell my mom that. She'll be delighted to hear.
So what it is that you got to somehow or other – there's all these holes in the harmonica. You can look. And do you have yours with you there?
I do.
Okay. Let's hear you just blow on it a little bit. And so if you go down to the, you know, to the first hole blow, there you go. Now you're playing the first and second hole. So just move. Well, all you have to do, instead of blowing on the instrument, just breathe through it. There you go. All you have to do is breathe through it. Now inhale on it.
Okay.
There you go. See, you don't have to force anything. There you go. See, you just naturally do a pucker. That's not bad at all. No, some people can't do that at all. I'm really, really impressed.
All right.
And that's the idea. That's the first few notes of the Tennessee Waltz, see?
I'm on my way. I'm on my way, Howard.
Yeah, you know, so getting a single note is kind of the start of the whole thing. And then once you get up to the fourth hole, that's where the major scale is if you're playing in C on the C harmonica. You blow and then draw. And then the next hole. Blow, draw, and then the next hole. And then you I know it's a little hard. They feel like they're getting narrower because the pitches of the notes are higher. Your lips are resonating at a higher frequency, and the position of your mouth that you have to get used to. It's not natural like speaking.
Right.
You have to kind of drop your jaw and pull the sides of your mouth in a little bit to center around the notes.
Oh,
so the blow draw pattern for the major scale is. Blow, draw, blow, draw, blow, draw, draw, blow.
So is that actually written on music? If you have harmonica music, is that actually written on the score?
Yeah, harmonica tab, it's called. Harmonica tablature is just numbers and arrows. So an arrow pointing up means blow, and an arrow pointing down means draw. So the way this would be written in harmonica tablature would be 4 with the arrow pointing up, and then the next one, 4 with an arrow pointing down for 4 blow, 4 draw. And in music notation, it's C and D. Hmm. And so when you start out playing harmonica, it's helpful to know what holes you're playing and which direction your breath's going in. But after a while, that can kind of slow you down. And, you know, you can play harmonica totally by feel if you're just playing simple stuff, folk music and blues. But if you try to get anywhere beyond those things – it is really good to know what notes you're playing.
Let's get a caller in here. So many waiting to speak with you, Howard. Tim is in Dover, Massachusetts. Hi, Tim. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes.
Howard, it's a great honor to speak with you. You're a huge inspiration to me. I've been playing harp all my life, and it was great to hear Sinister Minister because that was the first song I ever heard you play. And you really inspired me to stretch out and realize I didn't have to play straight harp or cross harp and Mixolydian, but I could play on a C harp, I could play D Dorian and get kind of a minor key with a raised fifth. It just really opened things up for me. My question is, you talked a little bit already about overblowing, and it's two parts. One is, what are the actual notes that you can overblow, And then are there any harmonicas that you recommend? I love Special 20s. I'm a Special 20s, but is there harmonicas that make it easier to get those overblown notes?
Yeah, those are two very good questions. The notes that you can overblow, which is the name I gave to it, I explained earlier, it's not really blowing harder. It's just, you know, trying to bend down a note that doesn't bend down. It's 1, 4, 5, and 6 blow. And on a C harmonica, that'll give you the E flat and the first whole blow, and E flat on 4 blow, F sharp on 5 blow, and B flat on 6 blow. And then what I call the overdraws, which doesn't have anything to do with checking accounts, is the 7th whole draw, which you try to bend that down and it pops up to a C sharp, and the 9th whole overdraw, which you try to bend that down and it goes up to a G sharp or A flat. And so if you get those 6 of them, of the overblows, the 4 overblows and the 2 overdraws, you can get the full 3-octave chromatic scale. Hmm. Now, as far as which harmonica is best, I prefer Hohner's. I think that they, in general, work better. The Special 20 and the Golden Melody are the two most affordable ones that work really well. The Golden Melody might even work better as a rule. And the one of the reasons they work better is that the reed cover plates on the top are closed. And I think that somehow this makes the sound a little bit more focused. And I actually prefer that tone when the reed cover plates, which are the parts of the harmonica you can see, are not open on the end. I think that it makes the sound a little less trebly and a little richer.
Thank you, Tim, so much for the call. We've got Howard Levy here, the gold standard of harmonica playing. But let's listen to some folky harmonica with Bob Dylan and the Pack. Not exactly a maestro on the harp, but he still knew how to plant a tune into your heart. Here he is, Just Like a Woman. And then here's a little Stevie Wonder. Here he is playing for Once in My Life. And that was a chromatic harp, right, Howard? The one with a little button on it?
Yeah, I didn't bring one of those today. You know, I know how to play them, but I don't love the chromatic harmonica, so I don't play it.
Why not?
It's more different than it is similar to a diatonic. The way it works is it's got two sets of reeds, one tuned in C, the other tuned in D flat, and it has a slide that you push with this button on the side. And so you can either have the set of C reeds or the set of D flat reeds, and you alternate between the two. Mm. The thing about Stevie's playing that's so wonderful is that he managed to make the chromatic sound bluesy and funky because he's, you know, what can you say about Stevie Wonder? I mean, the man is
child prodigy is what you can say, right?
He's beyond category.
Yeah.
And he also would get his chromatic harps tuned sharp so that he kind of bent down into them and gave it a really juicy tone. Mm. Because when you bend, when you just play with normal expression on a harmonica, you actually make the pitch go down a little bit. And that's why the manufacturers usually tune the harmonicas sharper than A440, because just in normal playing, you're going to be flat. So they're usually tuned around 442, and I think Stevie's harps are tuned a lot sharper than that.
Let's get a call in here from Matthew in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Hi, Matthew. You're on with Howard Levy.
Hi, Jane.
Hi,
Mr. Levy. Gosh, this is a mind-blowing conversation. I'm so impressed with Mr. Levy's technical knowledge as well as his great playing. I just wonder if Mr. Levy ever got to play with the great Toots Thielemans, the jazz harmonica player, or whether Thielemans was an influence at all.
Those are two really good questions, and I'm very happy to say that I did get to play with Toots twice. And Toots is a genius musician who blessed the world by playing the chromatic harmonica. He's also a fantastic guitarist. I know he's not in the best of health right now. He's in Belgium. And if he's listening, Toots, you're just all the best to you. I wouldn't say he was an influence on me, because I was influenced by a lot of the same people he listened to. The great jazz horn players, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, people like that. And so that a lot of the great music that you hear him play is because of his musicality and his taking in of the essence of great jazz improvisation.
Matthew,
and putting it out on the chromatic harmonica.
I'm really glad you called with that question. Thanks, Matt. Play for us live again, Howard. I think you're going to play for us There Will Never Be Another You. This was written in 1942.
Yeah.
It was played by everybody from Nat King Cole to Sinatra to Sonny Rollins, right? Let's hear your take on this one.
Yeah, this is a beautiful tune. It's a jazz standard. I just picked up an A harmonica here. I'm going to play it in the key of D. So this is a key that people before me really didn't play in. It's the key of the fifth whole draw of the harmonica. And it has a very rich sound.
Howard Levy, how do you get the vibrato on the harmonica? How do you create that sound?
That's a great question. Since we're not sitting in the same room with each other, you
can't
see
it.
You can sort of see it. There's a lot of different kinds of vibrato. The one that I use more in jazz, I call it the bend and unbend vibrato.
Okay.
So that when I'm playing, like, I'm sort of bending a note. But you don't hear it going wee-oo-wee-oo-ree. It's more of just gentle. Like that. And it can't go above and below the pitch of a note that's on the harmonica. For a bent note, it can go above and below the pitch. And then I also use a thing in blues called the throat tremolo. And that's something absolutely unique to the harmonica. It's kind of a controlled gasping for breath, especially hear it on the inhale. And that is when you hear like really good blues harmonica players, they all have a throat tremolo. And then the third one is with the hands, because we form this cup around the harmonica and make kind of a hinge with our thumbs. And I can't show it to you because you're not in the room with me. I could show you how to do it. And then you flap your hands. And you hear a wah, 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 or
right,
the campfire
right
thing. Either. So sometimes you can combine all those things together.
Wow.
So this
that's great. We're listening to musical genius Howard Levy and everything he has to say and play about the harmonica, the mouth harp. 1-800-423-8255 is our number. As we go out, listen to this tribute to jazz giant saxophonist Ornette Coleman, who died last month. It's called Ornette in the AM, from the 2009 album Alone and Together. Howard plays the piano with one hand and the harmonica on the other. Take a listen to this. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We've been sitting back, or actually sitting on the edge of our seats, listening to harmonica master Howard Levy. That was In the Village right there by Trio Globo, the acoustic jazz trio made up of Howard Levy, cellist Eugene Friesen, and percussionist Glenn Velez from their 2010 album Steering by the Stars. You can join the conversation. Do you like it when a musical instrument bursts out of its boundaries in the hands of an innovator, in the hands of a master? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Cheryl is in Canton, Ohio. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. Thanks so much, Jane.
Yes. Go ahead, please, Cheryl. You're on with Howard Levy.
Oh, okay. I just want to thank you for your beautiful playing and really enjoy it. I'm a beginner and just wondered which harmonicas would be most suited for a beginner and also what teaching materials. There's lots out there. I played years ago, and so just wondered what you would recommend for somebody who's just starting out.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, and I have two things to say. Number one, I think the Hohner Special 20 is a really good instrument. I actually play it sometimes straight out of the box. I like it. It's a very good instrument for anybody to play. And in terms of teaching materials, there are a lot of people offering all different kinds of stuff online, and I happen to be one of them. I have an online harmonica school. You can get there. The easiest way is just type in howardharmonica.com, and I teach everything I know, from the most basic things of how to sit, you know, and posture and how to breathe, to the most advanced things I play. And I recommend it wholeheartedly. It's run by administered by a company called Artist Works.
Do you have a lot of students, Howard?
I have hundreds of students from all over the world, and you know, some of them are learning "Oh Susanna," and some of them are learning giant steps. You know, so it's everything in between, from the simplest folk music to the most advanced jazz and classical music. And matter of fact, one of my students is the reason why I'm on the show today. My friend Ansel Barnum, who happened to meet your producer, and that's why I'm sitting here. So the school has tentacles, you know.
Speaking of students, Garrett from our website has a question about breathing techniques. We talked about the breathing involved, but he wants to know about exercises to do as one progresses with this craft.
That's another really great question, because breathing on the harmonica, it is very much like violin bowing, which you played the violin, and when you blow and draw on the harmonica, it's sort of like the wave motion in the ocean. The blow and the draw overlap each other. You know, one doesn't stop when the other starts. So you start out playing just a simple scale and doing it slowly and feeling the smoothness of your breath. And then there are all these different kinds of chordal breathing, like rhythmic stuff. And rhythmic tongue vamping. See, one of the things you can do on the harmonica is separate notes out of each side of your mouth with your tongue in the middle. And by flapping your tongue, you create all these rhythms. I'm just breathing in, out, but the tongue flapping creates a rhythm. And then you can also break it up with the inside of your mouth going. You can do this duka-chaka kind of stuff. And then in addition to that, I have figured out from watching my son's drum lessons. My son was the one who played drums on that very first thing we listened to on Takes.
Right.
Sitting watching his drum lessons, I realized that the blow and draw on the harmonica is a lot like the right and left hands of a drummer's drumsticks. And so I actually use drumming rudiments on harmonica, except that instead of right and left, it's blow and draw. And the bounce of the stick would be sliding from one hole to another. So the rhythmic paradiddle pattern, which is right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left, on the harmonica is blow, draw, blow, slide, draw, blow, draw, slide. I'll just demonstrate a little bit. You can play any notes you want, but the rhythmic breathing pattern is blow, draw, blow, slide. Draw, blow, draw, slide. So these are really, really good breathing exercises because you have to support your breath from your diaphragm way down there. And when I do it right, my voice gets lower. My throat opens up just like a singer, you know.
Right, right, sure.
And so that's the whole thing on the harmonica is that your breath has to be supported from the diaphragm and just come up and flow freely through the lungs and the throat and you know, add the resonance of the inside of the mouth that you want to keep open as, you know, as deep as much as you can, like a caveman.
So you heard it
here. I answered about five questions
No, Garrett, there is the answer to your question. Let me play another clip here. This is 2001. Actually, in 2001, the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra commissioned you, Howard, to compose a concerto, a harmonica concerto, and you did. It's the first ever written for diatonic harmonica. Here he is, Howard Levy, in 2004, performing the third movement of the Concerto for Harmonica and Orchestra with the Czech National Symphony. That is incredible, Howard. Really is. How long did it take you to write the concerto?
About 6 months. And a lot of the ideas in the concerto were things that had been knocking around my head for a few years. And then I assembled them together. And, you know, when you have a deadline, you have to finish it.
It's fantastic.
So I did. Thank you.
Let's get another call in here. John is in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, John. Welcome to On Point.
Hi there. In the last year, I've seen Charlie Musselwhite, Lee Oscar, and then comes Corky Siegel, and I never heard of Howard in a little cafe carp in Port Atkinson, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And Corky and Howard, just, I wish I had a film. This big, huge man with little Corky. You guys must have touched every part of your body playing that piano. And my wife is a speech and language therapist. She talked to you for a while, and you tried to explain what was going on with your mouth. The earlier guy said it was a mind-blowing experience. I think this is a mouth-blowing experience.
But, well, you know, the thing is that they did research on my mouth at this hospital at the University of Pittsburgh, and they actually filmed with ultrasound. They filmed a cross section of my tongue as I was playing.
No kidding.
And it blew my mind to see it because I had no idea what my tongue was doing. I mean, I don't think about it. And you can find it online. We showed some excerpts of it in my first instructional video that I did for Homespun. It's called New Directions for Harmonica.
And what'd they find? What was the outcome of that?
Well, you know, it was really interesting because they were trying to prove eventually that bending notes had to do with the amount of volume of air that was inside your mouth. It's a vacuum. Your nose is closed, and it has to do with vacuum and resonance. And this was the first step in proving this. And the second one, they did some experiments with me where they actually measured the capacity of the inside of my mouth as I played lying on my back on an operating table. They did it with water. All I can say is that I laughed so hard for about the first hour because these two mad scientists in white robes were injecting water into my mouth after I played a note. But I realized that they were really serious and they were paying me. So I had to, you know, like really live up to my end of the bargain. Mm. And they published all these results in a paper for the Acoustic Society of America. And you can find it online. It's the man's name, he's passed on now, a fantastic person named Henry Bahnson, Bahnson. And you can look that up and find more things than you ever thought even there were to know about how the harmonica works.
What a great story. I want to hear some more of you live playing here. Tomorrow, of course, the 4th of July, we've got a lot to reflect on. You dropped by our studio in Boston, I think it was the day after the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. Play something for us that reflects this holiday and the thoughts and feelings that we have as we go into the 4th.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Howard Levy, two-time Grammy-winning harmonica player. So you also play the flute, you play the mandolin, you play the saxophone, you play the percussion. Earlier we heard you in a clip playing the harmonica and the piano simultaneously. I have a listener, Stephen, here wonders, do you visualize the keyboard when you play the harmonica?
The answer is yes, because the harmonica is invisible, and I started as a piano player. Almost all the time my eyes are closed, and I am seeing the piano keyboard, yeah.
What are your current projects? What are you working on now?
Well, oh, God, so many things. I had to write them down. I am going to be playing my harmonica concerto in Hong Kong and Seoul at the end of July, beginning of August. Trio Globo is going to do a tour of China in October. I have commissioned a good friend of mine, Scott Rautenberg, wonderful arranger, to arrange a suite of three of my compositions for big band, and I have played one of them already. I'm going to play the other two at various jazz festivals around the country this summer. We worked on these arrangements together. Goodness. I am going to be composing another harmonica concerto. I'm working on actually composing a piano concerto as well in a totally different style. And I'm continuing to play with all these different groups that I'm in, Cheveret and Acoustic Express, and hopefully touring a bunch with my son and Larry Gray, the great bass player, playing the music from First Takes and also other free improvisations.
Well, you're a busy man. You could go on and on. We have to stop here. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, music is just, you know, it's my lifeblood, and I consider myself so lucky to be able to do it.
I once played the violin during an interview with Isaac Stern, which was incredible as a musician, but I have to say this ranks right up there. What a delight to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure, Jane.
Come again sometime.
I will.
Howard Levy, two-time Grammy-winning harmonica player. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. We go out with Miles Davis, the composition All Blues, done the Howard Levy way. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashford. This is On Point.